Well, we praise God for what he's already done and how he's just met us at the very point of our need and ushered in his spirit with us today, that we would do exactly the same thing, that we would praise him. And so we want to take a moment of just saying welcome to all of our guests and our visitors and our friend, and then welcome back, family, to a moment of just worshiping together and serving God with our whole heart, because we're reminded of this very point, that God loved us so much that if and when we have the love of God, we cannot keep it to ourselves. We must share it with somebody. And we get to share that love today. And so we had an opportunity to share in our praise and worship and sitting and listening and allowing God to speak to our heart already today during this service. And so I'm going to ask you to do something with me today, church. I'm going to ask that let us have church. Let us have church today. That came to my mind a few days ago when I was a young boy. I used to hear that all the time. Individuals would come from church and they would say, "We had church today." Did you ever hear that before? "We had church." And I thought about what does that mean? You know, we went to church, but we had church? And so over the course of time, I started examining those that were saying that and making that statement. And I came to a couple of understandings of what that meant. So I want to take a moment before we begin in our message just to share that. That having church meant that we came ready to give something to the Lord. That maybe we gave him in our praise. We gave him in our attention. We gave over to the Lord. We gave him something of ourselves. And so that pouring out allowed so that now we could receive, and so that God could pour into us. That he pour into us when we hear the songs of praise and we worship the Lord together, when we hear the message and the word speaks to our heart. And so it pours in to us that it starts to overflow. And out of that overflow, it causes us to do something. That we make a decision. That we either come to the altar and we lay it before the Lord, or we sit and we pray and we thank God for what he's done. Or we go and we share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We share what God has done in our lives. And so as we give to the Lord and we receive from the Lord, out of that overflowing cup, we're able to now do something with it. And so I ask you today, let's have church. Amen? Amen. Let's have church. And so as you heard the story of Zechariah and how Zechariah and Elizabeth were the parents of John. And Zechariah was a priest and he was called to go in and make prayers for the people as he lit the incense, as he lit the candle. His job was to pray for those that were in need and also to pray for himself. And as he prayed for those and himself and they joined together, that he would pray in faith to God, that God would do a great work. And as we continue to hear the story, as this is laid out in the book of Luke chapter 1, there was an angel, the angel Gabriel came, and he startled Zechariah. But he wanted him to know that he didn't need to fear, that God was with him, and that he could trust God beyond measure. And so can you imagine him being in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, and all of a sudden he sees this angel. And this angel reminds him that you don't need to fear, that I've been in the presence of God, and it is well with our soul, that we can trust him, that we can be comforted by him. And so also in his age and trusting God, we see that there was a moment of doubt. We've all been there. We go through life and we know that God is real and that we can trust him and we can depend upon him. But so often the cares of this world can get ahead of God and get in the way of us worshiping him in spirit and in truth, trusting him in all things and leaning not to our own understanding. but in all our ways acknowledging him and allowing him to direct our path. So just as Zechariah experienced that, so did we. And so he said those words. He said, "Whereby shall I know this?" And the word "whereby" simply means by which or by what. Can you imagine that? That all of the scrolls that he's read and all the things that he's learned about God, that he would say, "By which and by what shall I know this to be true? Shall I know this will happen?" And so the angel shut his mouth, but he didn't just shut his mouth, he shut his ears. That he couldn't hear and that he couldn't speak. And so it almost felt like he was in captivity. That he had been imprisoned within himself. And so he went 9 months of just thinking about this. That so often our doubt and our unbelief can be the very thing that imprison us. And so he had those moments of ups and those moments of downs. And remembering and reflecting, just like Nehemiah did. And he said, "Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight. Stay diligent. Stay faithful. Stay trusting God. Above all things." And so just like the prodigal son, he came to himself. And he thought about it. He had a lot of time to think about the words that would come out of his mouth. Because he remembered what those previous words were. Those words of doubt. "Whereby shall this?" And I thought about that closely. I thought about that a little bit. What would be my last words? If my last words before I took my last breath, do we want them to be praise? Do we want them to be magnifying the God on high? Or do we want them to be disbelief, distrust? And so we catch up to where Nehemiah is. He's looking for deliverance. And that's what we're going to talk about today, is the song of deliverance. How God has deliverance for each and every one of us. And so he's waiting for that deliverance, because simply that word deliverance means to being rescued from bondage, being rescued from danger. And God's desires to rescue the entire world. See, the scriptural definition of that word deliverance means the act of God whereby he rescues his people from peril or any form of danger. We see that happening in the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and chapter 8. God rescued the Israelites from Egypt. He brought them out. But just like the Israelites, so often we can think it's better being in bondage than it is being free. Because the cares of this world and how we can be so sight-driven. He was startled by the angel. He saw what is natural and not the spiritual. And I remember so often that being my story. Of being driven by sight and not by faith. And so God wants to speak to our heart about how he wants to deliver us from every danger. From every form of evil. From anything that would keep us separated from him. And so our scripture reference today is found in Luke, the first chapter, verse 79, that first part. Here's what it says. In Luke chapter 1, verse 79, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." Let me say that again. "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death." Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask you to speak to our hearts mightily. Lord, in you we move and breathe and have our being. Lord, speak to us about your deliverance. Help us to serve you in a new and a mighty way. And Father, we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And so as we look at this scripture, we just take a moment to describe what this scripture represents. See, God gave his son, Jesus Christ, to be the light of the world. See, we see that in John 8, verse 12. It says this, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." That we would not walk in darkness, not knowing where we came from, where we're going, where we're headed. That we wouldn't be deceived by the things of this world. That Jesus Christ came to bring light and life. But that scripture also in Luke 1:79 tells us that man's present state is in darkness. And God said it himself, that at the day we eat it, you shall surely die. And so man's present state is a state of darkness, a state of death. And at this time we knew that the Israelites, the people on this earth, had spent hundreds of years walking in darkness. God had stopped talking. He had become silent because our sins had grown so much that we loved darkness rather than light. And also the last part of that scripture tells us this, that the end state of darkness is death. That at the moment we take our last breath, if we're separated from that light, if we are without Christ, if we are without the light and life, that there is eternal death. And so he gives us these words in Luke 1:79, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death. Here is what Jesus said in John 8:24. He says, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If ye believe not that I am he. If you believe not that I'm your deliverer. If you believe not that I'm the Savior. If you believe not that I'm the Redeemer. If you believe not that I'm the Son of the living God. You shall die in your sins. He says, I am he. And so Christ wants us to know that it's not about our works. It's not about anything that we can do. But it's about his shed blood on Calvary. For each and every one of us. That we would be delivered from this body of sin. That's what Paul said. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin? It sounds like a hard saying, but there is good news that Jesus Christ is the deliverer. That he came. That whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. This 80 years that we might live, this 70, 80, 90, has nothing on eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. And we should be jumping up for joy just thinking about that. That we get to spend eternity with God. So we pick up with Zechariah needing to be delivered. Needing to be broken free from now this captivity that's upon him. Just as the whole world is needing to be delivered. So turn with me to Luke 1 verse 64 and we start to see there what happens in these verses. In Luke 1, verse 64, it says, "And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God." And those were the first words out of his mouth, that he started praising God, that he started giving God something. He started emptying himself, serving the Lord with gladness, with his whole heart. And if we know a little bit about God, that we can't outgive God. That truly when praises go up, blessings come down. And he'll pour into us more than we ever could imagine. So God has a deliverance plan. Zechariah starts praising him. And now Zechariah starts thinking about and speaking and prophesying God's deliverance plan for each and every one of us. And so look what he says here in verse 68. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he have visited and redeemed his people." He redeemed. In other words, that word redeemed means he has set us free by paying a price. That he's redeemed us. That he's paid a worthy price for us. And that word redeemed also means that we've been returned back to him. See, we were stolen. We never belonged to the world. We never belonged to the devil. And so we were redeemed by the blood of Christ. And see, I thought about this a little bit because who in here has had their car towed before? Anybody? Not a good experience, right? We may have put the car in the wrong spot somewhere. We may have missed a sign, especially if you're in Washington, D.C. It's a badge of honor. If you're in Washington, D.C., you're going to get your car towed or you're going to get a ticket, right, at some point. And it's this feeling that something has been taken away from us. Our car, we walk out there and the car is nowhere to be found. The first thing we think, who has stole my car? And then we figure out that maybe it got towed and we got to find out where it is so we can redeem our car. And we pay a heavy price. Amen? It gets stiff. And so I remember this happening one time when I was the commander of the ROTC battalion at Florida A&M, the professor of military science. And I had a young cadet run into my office. She was a single mother. And she ran in there with tears in her eyes. And she said, "Colonel Williams, my car has been towed. And they're telling me it's $400 and I don't have it. I can't get my car. I'm unable to pick up my son. I'm unable to get to school." And so I walked out and I went with her. I got it. I took her over to the tow place. And the Lord, I'm feeling the Lord saying, "Jeff, I need you to let me do this. I need you to let me be her redeemer." Because you could walk in there as a colonel and as a Department of Military Science, and you could get some attraction because there's some authority that you have. And so I walked in there, and we talked to the gentleman, and you know you get that standard response, right? It's $400. It's $400. And they're not budging. And they look at you with those non-caring eyes. And so I explained to them the situation, that she was coming to do duty because we did parking for the stadium. And they were allowed to park in that area, but because we didn't have enough space, she parked a little bit on the side, not knowing that she was parking in a place that would get her towed. And I asked them to just have compassion, show mercy on this young lady. And I walked away. I didn't flex on them. I didn't say, "You're allowed to be on the campus." And I took her back and we prayed together. And I asked her to trust God. I asked her to give it over to him. So a couple days later, she came running into the office with a big smile on her face. And she said, "Sir, they cut the price in half. They let me get my car. Someone showed up and gave me the money. And I thank God for what he done." Amen. See, God was her redeemer. God wanted to prove himself mightily to her. And God wants to do the same for us each and every day. It doesn't matter how small or how big it is. That he's more than able. But he also wants us to understand that he is the horn of our salvation. That's what Zechariah was talking about in the next verse. He wanted us to know that we serve the powerful Savior. See, that horn of salvation comes from the book of Songs. When David was grieving, when he was going through all trials and tribulations, he reminded himself that God would give us rest. That God can give me joy. That God is my redeemer and he's my salvation. And so in the book of Songs, it writes, "The horn of David." And so Zechariah was thinking about this thing, how God delivered the Israelites, how God delivered his people, how God kept David from sure destruction. And Zechariah was reminded that we have a powerful Savior. That he's all-powerful, that he's omnipotent, that he's able to do anything even more than we can ask or think. That if we trust him with our whole heart, he'll show himself mightily day by day. That he'll keep us in the midnight hour. That even though we're weeping, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That we can stand on the promises of God, that they are yes and amen, that he is the head and not the tail, that he is above and not beneath, that he has a cattle on 1,000 hills, and that we can trust him to meet all of our needs, that truly he is the horn of our salvation. But he also wanted to let the people know that God had showed him something in his age and in his unbelief. In verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us. Not only did God want to redeem his people, not only did he want us to know how powerful he is and that he's the horn of salvation, but that he will save us and keep us safe from every hurt, every danger. That truly when the Israelite people said it was better that we were Egypt, and God was saying, "I will save you even from the Egyptians. That I'll cover you, that I'll protect you, that I'll watch over you, that he's our protector, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that we can trust him." And so can you think about that old man having 9 months to just think about how good God is, how much he's able to do more than we can ask or think. And we ask that question, why would God do this? Why would he redeem me? Why would he show himself so powerful in my life? Why would he save me from all kind of trouble? And the quick answer is because he said so. And that's what Zechariah wanted to speak to us. He wanted to prophesy that. He wanted to speak it out loud. In verse 72 and 73, we see that clearly. to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, because he said he would be merciful, and to remember his holy covenant, because he made a covenant, he made a promise with us, not because of our works, not because of anything that we can do, because he said he would. So often we can get like, well, I'm not enough. I haven't done all the things. I keep tripping up on this. I still say some words that I shouldn't say. I still do some things that I shouldn't do. God is honoring his word. He's honoring his word. To perform the mercy promised, to remember his holy covenant, that it's an eternal and it's an unchangeable covenant. That he was going to do it regardless of what we do. Now our job is to accept it. Are we willing to accept his mercy? Are we willing to accept his grace, his unmerited favor upon us? And now do something with it. And so let's take a moment to talk about that with the divine purpose in mind. What is our response? That's not God just yet. He wants to speak to all of us. So turn with me to verse 74. Let's see that real clearly. Luke 1, verse 74 and 75 says this, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. That he would grant unto us that his deliverance, that his redeeming of us, his saving of us would cause this very point to happen, that we would serve him without fear, that we would no longer be enslaved to the I can't. Is he able? Is he enough? Am I enough? Will they accept me? Well, I don't look like the way others look. I don't talk the way others talk. See, he wants us to be free from all of that, that we might serve him without fear, without hesitation, without doubt, without second guessing whether it is good to follow him or follow the world. It is good and it is great to follow God, to serve him without sin, to be in obedience, living uprightly and not just a form of godliness, but continuing in holiness and righteousness. But even that can be daunting. We can think about that and say, well, how can I be holy and righteous? Because it's not about us. It's all about him. That if we seek his face, that if we follow his leadership, that as we enter into him and his righteousness, we become righteous. But the reality of it is, God already sees us that way. He already sees us as righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we just got to get this to see it that way. So often we can miss it by 18 inches. We can have it here, but it doesn't get down here. That's the next step. That once it comes here, that we allowed it to get into our heart. And David said it clearly. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And so God wants to transform our mind, transform us by the renewing of our mind, so that we would serve him in all holiness and righteousness. Because of this very point, because we are the light, Matthew 5. Now you heard me say earlier that Jesus Christ is the light. And now Jesus Christ turns around and he says, guess what? We are the light. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candle, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have repented of your sins and you've been saved by his blood, there is light living on the inside of you. And God wants that light to be on a hill, not under a bushel. And so as we allow ourselves to be convinced of that very point, that we don't doubt, that we don't say, whereby can this be? That we trust him. And we say, Lord, if you want me to go this way, I'll go this way. Lord, if you want me to do this, I'll do it. I'll serve you all the days of my life and allow my light to shine before men, that they may see your light in me and glorify you, trust you. And in that very point, we diminish and he increases. We become invisible and Jesus Christ becomes visible. That the whole world sees him living and breathing in us. And they can't help but say, what is this? I'm seeing something. I'm seeing hope and I'm seeing joy and I'm seeing peace. And that's what I want. I want to be delivered from this body of sin. I don't know where you are right now, but I remember that. I remember sitting in a tub with water up to my neck, saying, I can't live like this anymore. I didn't know the exact words, but I knew that there was death all around me. And many of it was because of my actions day by day. As a young man, living for the world, in my language, in my hearing of what I was listening to, in my actions, whether it was sexual sin or pornography or gossip or all these other things, they are death unto us. And I'm sitting in that water and I'm saying, God, help me. And he brought someone by my way to say, God has not forgotten about you. That he wants to deliver you from it all. And that he just doesn't want you to be saved, but he wants you to walk in all holiness and righteousness. And I remember that moment like it was yesterday when I took all of that stuff out of my car on July 31st, 1989 and dropped it in that dumpster and walked back into that car. At the moment I hit that seat, I felt the presence of God wrap all around me. And I knew I was free. God wants that for all of us. Whether you're saved or unsaved, he wants that for all of us. Because we can be saved and still in bondage, amen? He don't want us living one foot in and one foot out. But to be free to serve him in all holiness and righteousness. So would we be willing to follow the footsteps of John? Because John's name really just means mercy is promised. Those of us that have received God's mercy, those that have received his deliverance, that he set free, because many of us should have been dead and gone before we ever made it to this day, amen? We've done some things that we shouldn't, that we're not proud of. We've been down some roads that were treacherous and hard, and death all around us. But for his mercy and grace, we're here. We're here today. And so look at verse 77 as we get ready to come to the end. 77 says this, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high have visited us. So John was given this mission to serve, to give. The first is to give knowledge, that someone needs to know that Jesus Christ is the hope for the world, that he's the Savior of the world. That they don't just need to know about religion, they need to know about Jesus and have an abiding relationship with him. And then in verse 79, it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness, that they would see our light, that we would be willing to share it, we would be willing to give it away by serving others, by letting them see unconditional love, and then to guide our feet in the way of peace. That we don't want to be a stumbling block for anyone. So John was given that mission to give knowledge, speak it, to give light, let it shine, and to guide, discipline ourselves so that we wouldn't be a stumbling block for others, that they would have that peace when they look at us and they say, I want some of that. Just as that drummer boy, he didn't have much, but he was willing to give what he had. God is asking the same thing of us. So often we think we don't have much. God is just saying, give what you have. Let him pour it in and let it overflow, that somebody would see your light and glorify God. He's worthy of it, amen? Let's give God a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. As the worship team is coming up, I want to share something. I want us to just take a moment and think about what it means to be delivered. Because so often we'll let things around us keep us from that very point. God wants us to be free in every aspect so that we can be free to serve, free to let our light shine. What about you? Are you free today? Have you been delivered? Maybe there's somebody here that you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior. I'm going to pray with you in a moment. And would you let today be your day? That you choose him to be the Lord of your life. I guarantee you'll never regret it. I guarantee you he will transform you. He'll give you a home in heaven. He'll allow you to be able to let your light shine. And then maybe there are those in here that are saved, but we're still dealing with some things. We're still struggling in some areas. that we would bring that to the altar, that we would lay that at the foot of Calvary, that we would lay it at the foot of Christ, because he paid the ultimate price for the remission of our sins. So there is nothing that you've done that you need to keep hidden, that you can't keep it hidden from God. God already knows it. So the altar is going to be open for you to come and say, Lord, I give this away. I repent of this. I change my mind. And then also there may be someone that you know, are in need of your prayers, that are in need of reaching heaven for them, that we would take time and do that at the altar, that we would take time to do that with God, because we're confident, we believe that our prayers reach the throne of God, and we don't doubt. So why don't we stand to our feet, and as I open us in prayer, you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, but you want to be sure, why don't you just pray with me right where you are? Father God, I know I've sinned. I know that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And therefore, this day I repent of all my sins. I repent of my own actions. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for it all. And I give it to Christ. And I accept him as my Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit. And I thank you for salvation. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now let's make that decision to come to the altar. Let's come to the Lord. Let's lay it at the foot. Let's give it over him. Let's be praying for our friends and our family and our enemies. The altar is open. Would you come?